Afternoon Jams 103.7 to beat. We're live in the studio. Coming up inside the 5 o'clock hour, Jocelyn Benson is running for governor. We have our interview with her coming up inside the 5 o'clock hour. Now, there is a Muskegon Heights City Council meeting going on today at 5:30. So the interview we're about to do, he's going to be done long before that. He's going to be there on time. He's going to be posted up. But we have the one and only, a first elected official to say something publicly to the city. City Councilman William Kitchen is live in the studio. How you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. Feeling good.
Good. What made you decide that, you know what, I'm going to talk to the people, man? You know what? Because I saw your Facebook post. You've been thinking about going live.
Yeah.
And so what made you decide, you know what, we're going on radio. We're going to talk to the people.
For sure. I think my people understand that whenever things occur, I've always tried to be one to communicate with them. I'm one of the ones that they do reach out to via calls and text, sometimes on a daily basis, no matter what they're enduring when it comes to city services. They feel comfortable enough to reach out to me, and I feel obligated enough to respond. With a lot of the recent events, I've not been able to communicate with the people in the manner in which that I would have desired. So I kind of been just falling back, you know, watching things play out, trying to gather as much information as I can before, you know, I make certain decisions. But, you know, a lot of people make a lot of assumptions, and a lot of people move off those assumptions, and as if they're true, as if they're reality.
Right.
And so there's a lot of just misconceptions out there. And I'd be trying to figure out, I'm in the midst of this thing. How do all of these conclusions get drawn up?
Right.
Some of them I've never even heard of.
It's a lot of theories on. So first thing, are you on investigation?
No.
You wasn't they didn't like grab all your stuff from you?
No.
So that y'all can throw that out there.
Yeah. I've seen that too. They got him. They got him. Actually, I was approached because I voluntarily went to City Hall.
Okay.
There was some.
You went up there.
I went up there. Yeah, I went up there. Once I got the word that they were inside the building, I made certain calls. I asked, did they serve a warrant? What that warrant pertained to. And I shot straight up there because I wanted to know, this has to be something serious for you guys to come in mass in the way that you did. I was really concerned about our employees. A lot of people don't realize how, you know, law enforcement inside certain cultures and community can be traumatizing.
Exactly.
So I was really concerned how their treatment was. And so when I got there, a lot of our staff was held up in the council chambers. And I asked the agent, you know, are they detained? And when he told me no, I wanted to ensure that somebody from the city side communicated with them that you're not detained, that you're not under investigation, you're not compelled to say anything or do anything. And if you want to leave and go home, you have that right to do so.
Because there's a big misconception that everybody at City Hall is under investigation.
No, not at all.
That's not the case.
Not at all.
And it was pretty specific things they were looking for, right?
Yeah.
Right. What went wrong? What went wrong with them gathering, putting everybody into the room together, and would make people think that they have to obey because the officer asked them to go in, but they really didn't have to, right?
True. Absolutely, they didn't.
What went wrong during that process?
I think it's a psychological fear and intimidation when it comes to, you know, our culture and our community and law enforcement. I think sometimes when you're dealing with trauma, you're dealing with fear flight. So you're dealing with traumatic experiences that are compelling you to either shut down, get paranoid and run, or fight back in a way that may be detrimental to yourself. So I think a lot of our employees being unaware and not knowing what was going on. You see the building full with IRS, DEA, FBI, state troopers.
All of the alphabets,
right?
All of them. So alphabet if they, boys.
If they're asked or if they under the impression that they have to remain there, they're not going to be combative of that because it's just the unknown.
The unknown. That under warrant, it said we saw a lot of stuff. No, mm-hmm. This is not pertaining to the fire chief, but this is separate stuff. It's, mm-hmm. It mentioned land bank transaction, mm-hmm. real estate transaction. You sit on what committee do you sit on that deals with property?
I'm the chairman of buildings and land.
You're the chairman of buildings and land.
Yeah.
And so apparently they're looking for something there and looking for stuff with contracts, government contracts.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff might have happened before you've been there or some things might have happened since you've been there.
Yeah. So
and of course you can choose what you want to answer
course,
or not.
Of course, course. So the warrant is now public. And in the warrant, you can see that they specify targeted information. The information that they're targeting was prior to me. It was before my time. I've been on council since last November, and I've been chairman of buildings and land for about 3 or 4 months. And so a lot of relationships that occurred previously, I'm not privy to. I didn't come in and inherit a file based upon all of the activities of the buildings and lands transactions from 10, 15 years ago. So if they want to look into certain things that may have previously occurred, they more than able to do so. I think what concerned me was people was like, they got Kitch. He taking the fall. And that wasn't the case or isn't the case.
You haven't got any houses through the city?
No, not one. As a chairman of buildings and land, my sole responsibility is to figure out how to transfer those properties. And then we still require council vote. So I can't, as chairman of buildings and land, just say, hey, here's a house. I'm giving it to Big Rob over here. Here you go, Big Rob. This is for you, my baby. I can't do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah. So what we do in the committee is we sit, we chew on some things. We try to figure out the best course of action. And then what we can do is make a recommendation to full council on how to proceed with the process of transferring lands, houses, and things to that nature. So individually, me as an individual, I can't do nothing alone. There's a degree of oversight there.
Wow. We're live with William Kitchen, City Councilman, City of Muskegon Heights. What has the last 5 days been for you? Like 4 days?
Man, you know, I've seen so much on Facebook. I'm not one of my elders who just be like, social media is the devil. I'm never getting on there, right? I'm very active on social media. And so I see the comments. For the most part, I see a lot of uncertainty and a lot of paranoia along with the accusations. It bothers me for different reasons. One of the reasons that it bothers me is that when I looked out into the social media landscape, it seemed as if people were celebrating this, right? We have to get to a place in our culture, in our community, that we have to love our people. And if they done wrong, we hold them accountable. But just because you hold someone accountable doesn't mean that you don't love them. Doesn't mean that you don't try to uplift them,
right?
And I think that seeing some of the celebratory applause of this thing, man, it's never a good thing for anyone when the alphabet swoop into a municipality in this nature. It's never good for anyone. And so while some might be thinking we can get rid of some people and we have finally found out what happened 30 years ago, we're going to have to deal with the blowback from just being able to navigate out of these type of waters. It's going to be real difficult from this point on to do so. It's just not a celebratory thing. Even if someone is found to have done something wrong, for me, those still are people. Somebody or people, if found to be guilty of any infraction, is going to possibly face fines, possibly go to prison. How would that affect the family structure that they've built? How would that affect the kids that they have? How would they? And so my thing is, we hold people accountable. You have to take responsibility for what may have been done. But that doesn't mean that you're not my people. That doesn't mean I'm going to celebrate your downfall. And so for me, it was just more of the celebratory nature that occurred.
Like people was looking for you guys to fall.
Yeah. You know, and yeah. I made a post recently and I say, when people should be praying for us, they praying on us. There's a difference, P-R-A-Y and P-R-E-Y, mm-hmm. right? And so sometimes we expect our people to pray for us when in reality they're praying on us.
And you know, there's frustration with politics.
Of course.
And some people look at it as failed promises. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions. And I think this, maybe this investigation will give us a lot of answers. Because mm-hmm. basically this is like a forensic audit, right?
Man, yeah, I think it's either going to be the equivalent to or better than. That's my personal impression. Speaking for myself, I've seen some comments that, you know, previously it was us who stopped the forensic audit from happening.
Is that true?
That is not true.
I didn't think so.
That is the furthest thing from the truth. But there is a narrative in social media right now that's saying the council didn't want the forensic audit, and that's why we moved to let go of our previous city manager, because they wanted the forensic audit and we didn't. Actually, it was the council who voted, I believe almost unanimously, if I'm not mistaken, for the forensic audit to occur. For me, it was personal because I campaigned on it. I had promised the people that once I get elected that I would do everything that I could to see that forensic audit carry through. I know that our mayor, Bonnie McLaughlin, has been speaking and wanting and desiring a forensic audit for years. And so I said that when I get on council, I will support her in that endeavor to ensure that we have a forensic audit. In the process, the quotes went out for us to have a forensic audit done. Our previous city manager returned and said that we couldn't afford it.
Right. And it costs a lot of money, right?
It costs us a lot of money.
Right.
And so I believe that we were going to be looking at some ways subsequently to figure out how could we get it done. But it wasn't nothing that myself nor my colleagues took off the table.
Right.
It wasn't something that city council stopped, hindered, or stagnated and told anyone through instruction, verbally or written, that we are not going to be doing this forensic audit. It's something that we almost unanimously voted on for it.
Wow. You guys haven't had any meeting at all, right? Because it has to be public, right?
Yeah.
And so this would be your first time meeting as a council.
Yeah, because the last meeting 2 weeks prior, the meeting didn't happen. So we haven't met in probably about a month.
In about a month.
Yeah.
Wow. So a lot of things is going to be talked about at 5:30 today.
I'm hoping. Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping that we can, you know, I'm one of the ones who always advocate for council consensus and collective input and bargaining. So I'm hoping that, you know, a lot of the things that we have not discussed can get discussed and can get ironed out tonight. Because let's just be honest, it's a lot going on right now. And we have right. to put our heads together. There is a mentality that affects, I think, our people as a whole, where there's a lot of big I's and little U's. Mm-hmm. This is not the time for a big I and a little U. If it's by the grace and mercy that we're able to navigate out of this thing, mm-hmm. we will only be able to do that collectively unified. Right. And that's why I also I love our people. And sometimes I think our people get mixed up into the internet thing, and they just don't understand what side to fall on or what ideology to espouse and convey. Right. The reality is we have to stand on what's best for Muskegon Heights. So we know that we need to take a look at some things. We know that in identifying some of the things that we take a look at, we need to apply a corrective action plan. And we know that we need qualified people to implement and enforce those corrective action plans. That doesn't mean that you give up faith, hope, and confidence in your city. Mm-hmm. See, I'm from a village, and I think a lot of people that has lost faith, hope, and confidence inside Muskegon Heights has just got tired of it through the decades and just seen its overall deterioration and has just threw their towel in. For me, I still hold on to what the village can be. I still hold on to the memories and to the remnants of what Muskegon Heights was. And that's what fuels me every day to get up and fight for my city, to fight for these kids, and to be a proper representation of the city that I love. And so because I'm holding on to that, I can't just easily surrender it.
Oh. Your eyes have been places most of us know don't see the data because of the boards you sit on as a council piece and a council person. Have you seen some things that has raised your eyebrows that you think probably will be problematic in this investigation?
Man, I seen some things prior to me being on council that raised my eyebrows. That's I can't say that I didn't, because I ran saying that my eyebrows was raised to how certain things have been done over the course of these decades on city council. I believe, and this is just me speaking from an individual nature, man, I believe, man, we are our own worst enemy. I'm just being honest with you. I believe there have been people over the course of these last couple decades who came as a friend but acted as a foe. Who came as an ally and was really an opponent, and we've let them into the house. I've always been known as the one who advocates to keep Muskegon Heights, Muskegon Heights. But the reality is, the positions that we found ourselves in, we in those positions because of our own.
Wow. William Kitchen is here. Anything else you want to share to the community?
Man, just a couple pieces. When we realize that we're stronger together, when we realize, when they say that the people have the power, that's a true statement. The reason that Muskegon Heights people can't exercise that power is because we have not mobilized, organized, and have collectively determined that that's something that we want to do. The power has always and will always be in the hands of the people. And so once the people start making moves and start getting involved, they can affect change from the populace, from the people. I'm an elected official. I got 3 more years up here. But if it comes a time where the people wants to mobilize against me, you can remove me. You can say we no longer have confidence in your leadership. We want to go a different route.
A recall.
Yeah. I'm only here at the expense of my people. I'm only here to be a blessing and a benefit to my community. And so in the event that my people lose trust, faith, and confidence in that, then let me know. And then we can start the process. I'll submit to that process. But I need them to understand this, because this is equally important. Just because you see 20, 30, 40, 50 people saying that they don't support William Kitchen doesn't mean that there isn't 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 people that's saying, but we do. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to please everybody. You see what I'm saying?
That's impossible to please everybody.
Right. No matter what decisions that I make, the only thing that I ask from my community is to understand, when I make a decision, it's from the most purest, sincerest core of me, right? I don't make decisions based upon favoritisms. I don't make decisions based upon personal gain. I make decisions based upon what my morality, what my integrity, and what my intellect has led me. But I can't please everybody.
Exactly.
So if I make a decision and these people love it, I still got to deal with the other side of the people who don't like it.
Right.
That's the nature of this elected office. So imagine the weight that I have to carry every day when I want and I desire all of my people to love me. But if I make a decision, crucifying.
Right.
So the cause, one of the greatest men that ever walked this earth was crucified by his own people. It was his own people that threw stones at him.
Right.
When the other people came in and said, hey, who do y'all want us to crucify?
Right.
They said him.
They don't want to hear that. Don't say that word. You want to be called anti-Semitic, man. Don't want to be called
anti-Semitic, anti-Christian.
I apologize. I try not to put
that's
it
the Bible,
on.
Though. You quoting the Bible, though.
So when he walked in them streets and was getting stoned, it wasn't by his opponents. Nah. It wasn't by foreigners.
Yeah.
It was by people that he grew up with that knew him.
The Jews.
It was his own people.
Yeah.
Right? And so when I see myself kind of, and I don't compare myself to him, but when I see myself going through things where, man, the very people that I love, the very people that I quit jobs for, the very people that I struggle for every single day, when they throw a stone at me, it hit different. It hit different than somebody else. Right. Somebody else can throw a stone and I'll laugh at them. But when it's your own, it affects you differently.
I know we got a few more minutes. What happens, because we know with Muskegon Heights, when they got raided, the school, there was no charges.
No charges, but the damage, nothing found,
but the damage was already done.
Yeah.
Dr. Bryant still haven't totally recovered from
the damage or the speculations.
It was a hit job.
It was a hit piece. What happens if nothing is found in Mr. Roberson, Sean Roberson, is vindicated?
Yeah.
How do we bounce back from that scenario? And it's the history shows it's a possibility. You never know.
Absolutely.
That maybe there's some other stuff they find, but maybe he was cleared. Mm-hmm. How does the city move forward? Would it be like community meetings, community forums? Because there's a lot of questions, you know, moving forward.
I'll start that answer off by saying this, and I'm speaking as William Kitchen. I supported our chief to become city manager. I was public about that. I spoke about his integrity. I spoke about his character. And I asked the people to entrust their faith in me that I knew what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. I still do. I'm not one of those ones who, when trouble comes, I'll throw somebody under the bus. I still believe that Sean Roberson is a man of integrity, is a man of upstanding character. And until I'm proven wrong, I'm going to keep espousing and conveying that. As William Kitchen, right? And it goes back to what I was saying earlier. We have to love our own, learn to love our own again, but yet still hold them accountable. If he was in the wrong in any type of way, he has to accept what he had coming. But until that, he's innocent until proven guilty, right? Why we don't extend our own that? How can people from other cultures and communities do every single thing that you could think of under the sun and they're innocent until proven guilty? But with us, it's the reverse. We're guilty until proven innocent. Mm-hmm. I can't say he's guilty of anything. He hasn't had a fair shake. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had a charge. Mm-hmm. All we know is that there's an investigation pending. And I'm not privy. And so because I'm not privy to the information, I remain, that's my brother. I love that brother. I support that brother. And if it comes out that he did something wrong, he gonna have to be held accountable for whatever he did wrong. And that go for him and anybody else.
Is that probably the hardest thing within a small niche community, is to hold people accountable that you like and care about?
Yeah, of course.
And some people, a lot of people turn a blind eye and watch things go on and go on, and because they love the name and love who they were. They went to the same church or something, you know.
Absolutely.
How do we change that? Because that seems to be the issue that we're looking at. People know what's being investigated is people know. Other people have seen it.
Absolutely. I come from a different experience in life. I come from a gang culture. So for me, it was always, if you brought him to the table, you put the work in to get him away from the table. So when it comes to holding people accountable, I grew up differently. And so I can respect you, I can love you, but if I've endorsed you, if I've stood with you, and you're the person that comes out to be guilty of a thing, I'm going to be the first one to say, I got him. You're right. It's bald, right?
Right.
So we just, one, have to be, we have to be cognizant of the fact that no one is above reproach, no one is above criticism, no one is above being held accountable. But we can still do that and still love our own, but it's still difficult. It's still hard. If somebody came in here right now and said, you know, you got to hold your uncle or your aunt, that's how I look at all of us. Like every time that y'all hear me, I'm always either calling you sir or I'm always either calling you brother.
Right.
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 Always is because I see a familiar relationship there. I see culture. I see community there. And so when I see my people in Muskegon Heights, I don't see friends. I see family.
Right.
And so I just grew up different. I know how to love you and still hold you accountable at the same time. So for me personally, it wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be an issue because I want that same look. If I did anything that was a detriment, if I did anything that was in violation of anything, I want my people to hold me accountable, right?
Right.
It shouldn't have to be nobody coming in from out of town. No.
Right.
Right here, right here.
I know we got to go. This is the last question. Okay. If you had a chance to do it all over again, how things would handle with Miss Merriweather. Mm-hmm. Would you do it the same way or would you do it differently?
I would have done it sooner.
You've done it sooner?
Yes, I would have done it sooner.
So no regrets there?
No. I made an informed decision. I think what a lot of people didn't come into the understanding with is we were never intending to keep her from the beginning. She's not a city manager. She has no city manager experience. So we didn't intend to keep her from the beginning, but we needed time to try to find someone with city manager qualifications. And so at that time, we settled with her. I see a lot in social media that says, they're stupid. Why they fire a grant writer? How many grants have she written for Muskegon Heights? Right. Zero. When they say that, oh, they're stupid. They fired a lawyer. We didn't need a lawyer. We got two of them. We got a city attorney and we got an outside counsel. So all of the skill sets, the beautiful, great skill sets that she possessed, it's not the reason why we hired her, right? It's not the reason that we was trying to bring her in. And to add to that, she no longer had a contract with us. Her contract had expired. So we had to pivot and make a decision either way it went. I've already listed the reasons why I personally landed on the vote that I landed on. I still hold to that. Nothing has changed in that regard. The reason that I say I would have done it sooner is because, like she said, when she was here, I was a pleasure to work with. I enjoyed her, right? Mm-hmm. I had a great relationship with her. This is why I try to refrain from saying too much publicly with her name on it, is because I don't look at her as someone that that I consider my adversary. It's just when she's a city manager and I'm city council and we're not aligning ideologically and we got two different goals and two different agendas on how we're going to get to the finish line, we're not in sync. And so I had to withdraw my support from her. But I don't regret the decision that I made. Any qualification that she has is a great qualification, but I would love to challenge the public to wherever you say her qualification was to show how that benefited the city in the time that she was there. So I would love to see that. So when you call her a grant writer, see how many grants she's written for Muskegon Heights. When you say that she's a legal guru, ask how many successful contracts she's negotiated for Muskegon Heights. Like, we have to really apply critical thinking when we talk about people. And so I never try to disregard or demean who she is as a person, because I think she's a wonderful person.
Grant writers do have cycles, and you just can't apply on demand unless you like got something that has open.
But some cycles are rolling.
Some cycles are rolling, but a lot of major cycles are on, a lot of major grants are on deadlines, and you got to have your audit, you got to have your paperwork together. Absolutely. And if the city don't have any clear audit, I mean, it's all this expense as a person who write grants. Absolutely. I am a grant writer.
Oh, man, that's for sure. I agree with you 100%.
Go ahead.
I'm only speaking towards when people try to use these things as a way of saying this is why she was beneficial.
Right.
I only challenge to say, well, show me how that was beneficial.
Right.
Show me how that made sense since she's been there. Because since she's been there, those particular skill sets she didn't implement there. That's all I'm saying.
Rob, he got to leave in 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead. No, good.
Oh, okay.
It's a short drive.
The charter. the charter from Muskegon Heights. I've thumbed through it several times when things are going on and like things are happening here. Do you feel that the council needs to get somebody in to help change that charter?
Our charter needs to be amended. There needs to be a charter amendment council put the committee put together. Until then, I don't think a lot of people understand how our charter is designed as different from other cities and municipalities. We have a strong city council charter, right?
Right.
Which means that we have a strong city council, weak mayor charter. So the city council is essentially over four critical key functions inside the city: the city manager, the city attorney, the city clerk, and the chief of police are all subordinate to the city council, not the mayor. And so when decisions are made, it has to come from a collective body. I believe there are some benefits to that, but I also believe there's other benefits for having more of a strong mayor system. And I think that the people should be brought in and when we do a charter amendment, to hear the will and the desires of the people. We don't do that well. We don't bring in our people. We got some very intelligent people in our community. We need to really build those bridges back with community and lean on them for their experiences and expertises. Just because I'm a city council person doesn't mean that I have a master's in mathematics and business. And right. And so, but I know some people up in Muskegon Heights that do.
Right.
Let's lean on our people for the gaps that we have on our council. Not everybody in our on our council has doctorates and masters, but I know some doctors and masters up in Muskegon.
Right.
Let's lean on our people to fill the holes and the gaps and get feedback and get a consensus with the community so that they could be more involved in our decision making process. But our people has to understand that that's transactional. You can't just criticize every week that something don't go your way and you don't attend no meetings. You don't give no feedback, no input, no insight, no collaboration, no nothing. Hmm. But you will get on social media and just cast stones. And I'm not taking a shot at my people because my people know that I love them. But there's a different process on how you can be involved. I'm not saying not to criticize or not to take to social media, but you have to follow that up with being in the game. You got to get to these meetings. You got to read some of these minutes. You got to get some of this documentation so that you can say to the city council, I voted for you. You are representative of my vote. And here's what I require from you. If you're not doing that.
Shut up.
I'm glad you said it. You give me cussing up here. You always provoking me, man.
Right, right. There's a lot of comments online. We can't even get into them. You can respond if you want to later on.
I could be late for the city council.
No. We're not going to do that.
Blame it on y'all.
No.
We're not going to show up.
Doing that. Here's and this is something that is just my opinion. I think in a city like Muskegon Heights, you might not find someone with city manager experience.
Yeah.
But they might have money management experience. Mm-hmm,
and that's good.
And they might have some other credentials and what I've seen in my operations, and I got several successful business,
mm-hmm.
not a rich man. A lot of time you got to groom people and guide them.
Yes.
And while they're learning, they still have some skill sets that's helping the city blossom, but they're learning on other things. And the turnover of city manager at Muskegon Heights will probably make some of the best qualified people scared to come there.
Yep, for sure.
Because we're seeing how the city have discharged leaderships in a split second,
mm-hmm.
not in the back door where they get to leave in dignity.
Yeah.
Like most of the suburban cities.
Yeah.
They fire their people all the time,
mm-hmm.
but they're not on the headlines. We just departed mm-hmm. ways.
Yep.
But when we depart people in split second decisions,
yeah.
who's going to come in with that type of background mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. has experience because they like, this place is unstable.
Yep.
Nobody wants to be in a manage and running a city that is unstable where the council can't get on.
Want to walk into a hornet's nest.
Yeah, walk into a hornet's nest. So
sting me.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't do it. Yeah, you know what I mean? I wouldn't do it. Like, these people, if you're that qualified, you could be anywhere in America.
Yeah.
Why come to a city mm-hmm. where the leadership is unstable?
Yeah.
You got to go, brother. Thank you so much for being yep. available. I know the air doesn't seem like it's working over there. So I got to get
3-1 over everything, man.
All right. You'll be back. I know you'll be back.
Whenever you have me, I'm here.